When I was a parochial vicar in Newport News, when I first got back from Rome, my pastor there was a former pastor here. It was Monsignor Michael McCarron. And Mike and I used to like, we would mostly eat dinner at the house, but about once a week we would go out. And one of our favorite places to go out was the Crab Shack. It was this kind of ordinary seafood place, but it was in a spectacular location. I don't know if you know anything about Newport News or not, but there's the James River Bridge that actually spans that spot where the Chesapeake Bay ends and the James River begins. And you sit there at the restaurant, and there's this beautiful bridge looking at it. And so I started thinking about bridges in today's feast and for this particular moment, because I kind of see this feast and the teaching in it in three different bridges that don't just run parallel to one another, but are connected to one another as well. The first bridge is this feast itself is a bridge feast. This is the last day of Christmas, but yet tomorrow we start ordinary time. And so I'll talk about why that should be important to us. Then the second feast, the second bridge, is the fact that what we're celebrating in the baptism of the Lord is that Jesus Christ, God made man, is himself the bridge between ourselves and God. That we could not have crossed that chasm without God acting. And the third bridge that we're going to talk about today is the fact of baptism itself. What does baptism, how does it bridge us in terms of our relationship with God? So I think we always should start with Christ first. We always need to start with that central bridge first. So what is happening in the baptism of Jesus? Because although it's related to our baptism, it is different. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And John the Baptist even recognizes that Jesus doesn't need a baptism of repentance, right? But what Jesus is doing in this moment is he is identifying with us. He's in his baptism. Remember what St. Paul said? He became sin for us. He took on everything of what is. He is that bridge for us between God and man, that unreachable bridge that only God could do. And so we celebrate that in the baptism of the Lord. We also celebrate the fact that, remember, that Jesus was identified as Son in his baptism. And he was also, the Holy Spirit overshadowed him. Another image of the Holy Spirit overshadowing is the Holy Spirit anointed him, right? So who gets called Son of God in the Old Testament, and who gets anointed? David the king, right? So Jesus in this baptism is also showing that he is king. One of the things you may not remember is that when Samuel anointed David as king, he first took him to the Spring of Gihon. The Spring of Gihon was that only source of fresh water in Jerusalem. It was right at the base of the hill. And he is washed. He's prepared to be king. So Jesus also, as he begins his messiahship, as he begins his public ministry, he's washed in important water. What about the Jordan? What's so important about the Jordan? Well, the Jordan was that place where the people of Israel ended their exile and returned to the promised land. Most of you all remember in the book of Exodus where Moses parted the Red Sea, right? and led the people out of slavery. But 40 years later, maybe some of you are not as familiar with, that when the people of Israel entered the promised land, Joshua also parted the Jordan. The Jordan also stood back with walls of water, and the people of Israel passed into dry land. So immediately in Jesus, in this baptism of the Lord, we see Jesus as God, as Savior, and King. Now, what about that second bridge, which is the third bridge, and which is this child's baptism today? What's going to happen to her? How is he going to be bridged to God? One of the things I want to do a test. How many of you can remember the date of your baptism? Okay, a few of you. Okay, I did this at CCS this week, and one of the girls came up to me and said, "I know the date of my baptism now." Well, I think that knowing the date of your baptism is really important, because although your parents have given you the gift of life, your parents gave you the gift of life. Did you know that? Okay? And it's a wonderful gift. It's an amazing gift. But so much more important is what God is going to do in this child in this moment. Because in a few moments, this child will truly become a child of God through the waters of baptism. This child will have access to divine life through the waters of baptism. And our baptism not only forgives sins, but it forgives original sin. We do carry, no matter how innocent this child looks, he is an entire ego center, right? The whole world revolves around him, right? Pretty much, okay? If he doesn't sleep, you don't sleep, right? Okay? And that's what St. Augustine said. He said that, there is no such thing as an innocent human being. Now, we don't blame him. Now, I'm going to do an analogy. Now, the only thing about analogies is analogies always limp, okay? But when we think of the analogy of a crack baby, we don't blame the crack baby because they're addicted, right? But we have to do something. We have, we as a society have to protect that child. That child needs to be on medicine. That child needs help in that moment, because we don't leave them in their addiction. It's the same thing with our need for Christ, our need to be healed, which only Christ can do. And so he is that light of the nations. He's the one, as the first reading says, who will not break the bruised reed or extinguish the smoldering wick. And how does he do this? He doesn't do it with power. He does it by his own death and resurrection. So the baptism that John gave him, he says, "Let it be done this way for now, so that all righteousness may be fulfilled." That Jesus was being baptized into his suffering and death for us. And that's the life that this child is being born into, the life given by Christ. How about that last bridge? The bridge of this feast with ordinary time. Now, it's one thing, it's great to have celebrations, right? It's great to have Christmas. It's great to have Easter. It's great to have all of these different celebrations. But if we treat them only as celebrations, if we don't bridge them and connect them with our ordinary life, something is missing. As Christians, as we've been bridged to God through our baptism, we're also called to be a light to the world. We're called to live out our faith with integrity. We're called to live it out with joy, so that others, when they're looking, say, where can I find healing? Where can I find where God wants me to be? they have a right as adults. Maybe some adults in this room haven't been baptized yet. They have a right to look to us and say, does faith make a difference? Does your baptism make a difference in your life? So that's why I'm really encouraging you all to not only go back and ask your mom or dad what day you were born, what day you were baptized on, but to celebrate that and to live it out. Because that's exactly what you as parents are going to be asked to do too. Not just to live out your own baptism, but to share day in and day out what it means for this child to be baptized, because everything changes for him when, in a few moments, when the waters of baptism come upon him. And so we need to surround you with prayer. So we're going to invite everyone now to stand so that we may offer our prayers and needs to God, our Heavenly Father.